Jeremiah 16:17. For my eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalm 145:8. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 2:7, and also Hebrews 1:5-6. Psalm 2:7. Our purpose for being here tonight, as always, is to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the book of Psalms, which is a magnificent book. We're going to do a little repetition tonight in giving some general concepts. And then I hope you're ready to take notes, because we have a tremendous amount of information that we're going to share with you. I will try not to do it too rapidly, but I would like for you to get somewhat of an overview of information in relationship to this magnificent book, the book of Psalms. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we're here tonight again as an expression of your grace. You've allowed us to live another day. You've made it possible for us to be physically able to be in this auditorium this evening. We bow to express our thanks for your matchless grace. We realize how wonderful you are to us every single day. You promise us in your word that you would always be there, never to leave us, never to forsake us. And so we're thankful for the fact that you are with us on a day-by-day basis, a moment-by-moment basis. We're the recipients of your great care and love and blessings every single moment of every single day. And so we bow tonight again to express our thanks, first of all, for salvation through Jesus Christ, for all the wonderful logistical provisions of life, for the magnificent book we have, which is the Word of God, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, for every blessing that you give us. There are so many. We bow to express our thanks tonight and say we appreciate and love every blessing that you give us every day. We pray that in these moments of study now, that we'll have an open mind and open heart, and that we'll be able to receive spiritual fuel for our souls, then that we'll be able to take those things which we learn and apply them as we live each day. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin tonight with some general concepts in relationship to the book of Psalms. One, perhaps the best loved book of the Old Testament. Number two, this book has been described as the solid gold of the Christian experience. These are two important points. Perhaps the best loved book of the Old Testament. This book has been described as the solid gold of the Christian experience. Number three, the Hebrew title is Praise, or the Book of Praises. Of course, we understand that it is a book of praise, but it is also a book of prayer, and it's a book of worship. These are four important points, and I trust you're able to take them down. Number five, the Psalms have been described as the national hymn book of Israel. The Psalms have been described as the national hymn book of Israel. Number six, there are 150 poems here set to music for worship, to praise, and to magnify our wonderful Lord. It's interesting to see, point five again, the Psalms have been described as the national hymn book of Israel. 150 poems, number six, set to music for worship, to praise, and to magnify the Lord. Number seven, in Psalms, we see the life of the believer pictured in all of its experiences of joy and sorrow, victory and failure. One of the things we'll be able to discover as we move through the book of Psalms is that it presents life of the believer with all the experiences in relationship to joy and sorrow, victory and failure. Number 8, the Lord Jesus Christ captivates the thought pattern of the entire book, presenting the whole expanse of the life of our Savior, suffering, death, resurrection. It's amazing to me as I make my way through these chapters of the book of Psalms that it emphasizes Jesus Christ, the whole program of His life, including the suffering, the death, the resurrection. We'll be seeing some of that as we progress through this evening's message. Number 9, the Holy Spirit, using Dr. Luke, said, "All things must be fulfilled which were written in the Psalms concerning me." Very interesting to discover that in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, Dr. Luke, the one used of God to pen these words, says, "All things must be fulfilled which were written in the Psalms concerning me." The Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes that. Number 10, the prophetic office is found in Psalm 22, verse 22. Psalm 22, verse 22, which says, "I will tell of thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise thee." There's an emphasis upon the prophetic office found in Psalm 22, verse 22. I'll be coming back in a little bit tonight to this magnificent Psalm 22. But let's look again at number 10. His prophetic office is found in chapter 22. "I will tell of thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise thee." Number 11, we also find an emphasis in Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, verse 22 and 49 and 110, that the priestly office is presented to us. That Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, Psalm 40, verse 22, 49, and 110. We have an emphasis upon these verses in Psalm 46 through 8, then chapter 22, chapter 49, and chapter 110. Didn't want to confuse you too much there by the way I said that, but I wanted you to see that His priestly office is found in these passages of Scripture which you see on the screen. His kingly office is found in Psalm 2, 21, 45, and 72. These are individual chapters, Psalm 2, singular, Psalm 2, 21, 45, and 72. Or putting it in the plural, it would be Psalms 2, 21, 45, and 72. And then we have number 13, the sufferings of our Savior. We'll emphasize this over and over again in the service tonight and then again next Sunday. His sufferings in Psalm 22, also in Psalm 69. Then we have the emphasis upon the resurrection, and that's found, of course, in Psalm 16. I felt like it would be good if I could just share with you some interesting facts about the book of Psalms. I'll move this from the screen and leave just the passage of Scripture on the screen. Psalm 2:7, Hebrews 1, 5, and 6. But also emphasize the fact that when I took a look at the book of Psalms, I felt like that you would be interested in finding some interesting information as we take an overview of the book. For instance, I found out that David had an orchestra of 4,000. I thought that was unique. You can find that recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 5. So David had an orchestra of 4,000. I can't just imagine what it would be like to have an orchestra of 4,000. So I wanted you to see that that's referred to in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 5. Also, number 2, I've discovered that the folk at that time had many different types of stringed instruments. For instance, mainly the harp, psaltery. The psaltery, if you'll remember, is somewhat like a dulcimer, I understand. Wind instruments such as flute, pipe, horn, trumpet, and instruments to be beaten like timbrels, and symbols. I thought you would be interested in seeing some of the things in relationship to the fact that the people at that time had these various stringed instruments, flute, pipe, or horn, trumpet instruments to be beaten, timbrel, cymbals, and so forth. Number three, certain words and ideas were extremely important at that time. And we're going to take a little look tonight at some of these very brief words, brief number that is. Certain words and ideas were extremely important at that time, such as the word trust. You might want to write that word down somewhere. This word is repeated time and time and time again in the Psalms. Whatever the occasion, joyous or terrifying, it drove David straight to his Heavenly Father. And in the light of his weaknesses, he literally lived, as someone said, in God. So we have the word trust. I believe it's a fantastic word for us as believers in our day. The next word is the word praise. David always had praise on his lips. I wonder if that's true of us. Do we have praise and thanksgiving on our lips? David always had praise on his lips, always asking and then praising. He would thank God with his whole soul, the scripture says, for answered prayer. The next word that you can see on the screen is the word rejoice. It's another favorite word found in the book of Psalms. No matter how difficult life became, David could never dim his joy and devotion to his God. I pause for a moment to ask you a question tonight. When you find yourself in times of difficulty, when the burdens are heavy and the trials that come your way, would you, like David, be able to rejoice? That's a favorite word. And no matter how difficult life became, David could never dim his joy and devotion to his God. I trust that that could be true of all of us, that no matter how dark the days may be for us at times, it will not dim our joy and devotion to our God. The next word that you see on the screen is the word mercy. Mercy is presented over and over again in the book of Psalms. David spoke of justice. David spoke of righteousness. David spoke of the wrath of God. But he also gloried in God's mercy. So mercy was a fantastic word that is used in the book of Psalms. Number four, another interesting fact found in the Psalms is the many references to the Lord Jesus Christ. We call this the Messianic Psalms, such as Psalm 2, where we have an emphasis on the deity and the universal reign of the Messiah. I don't know how much of this you want to take down, but I think it's good for you to be able to see that the Psalms emphasizes the person of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we're studying these various books of the Bible, Old Testament. We're seeing Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. So we have the Messianic Psalms, such as Psalm 2, which emphasizes the deity and the universal reign of the Messiah. When you go to Psalm 8, you'll discover that there the Messiah again is presented, and he is presented as the Lord of creation. That's Psalm 8. When you go to Psalm 16, you'll find an emphasis upon his resurrection from the dead. I think that you ought to put this one down and look it up. Read through the 16th Psalm. Then in Psalm 22, we see his suffering, and we're going to see this time and time again. Also, we find it in Psalm 69. So we have an emphasis on the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ presented to us so beautifully in Psalm 22. What's amazing to me is that so much is presented in the Psalms about the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is about 1,000 years away from the time when Jesus Christ would be on the earth in the flesh. Psalm 22, his sufferings. Psalm also 69 emphasizes his sufferings. When you go to Psalm 45, you'll see an emphasis upon his royal bride, his eternal throne. In Psalm 72, there's an emphasis upon the glory and the eternity of his reign. All of us are familiar, I'm sure, with Psalm 110, which is an emphasis upon the eternal king and priest. And that passage of scripture we've seen many, many times in Psalm 110 about the a footstool operation. Psalm 118, we have an emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ was rejected by national leaders. In Psalm 132, we have an emphasis upon the eternal inheritor of David's throne. Then that takes us to number 5. Note some Beatitudes of David. I trust that you're enjoying this because it's important to see that when you go to Psalm 112, verse 1, we have, blessed is he that fears the Lord. Don't want to go so fast that you miss this, because we have the Beatitudes of David here. In Psalm 112, verse 1, blessed is he that fears the Lord. In Psalm 41, verse 1, blessed is he that considers the poor. That's Psalm 41, 1. In Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Fantastic passage of Scripture. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. It's wonderful for us to know that our sins have been forgiven. And so we see it presented to us in Psalm 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. In Psalm 84, verse 4, we read, blessed are they that dwell in the Lord's house. How interesting. In Psalm 84, 4. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, it says, blessed are they that put their trust in him. An emphasis upon our ability to love and to appreciate and trust our Heavenly Father. Psalm 2, verse 12, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Then in Psalm 34, verse 8, blessed is the man that takes refuge in the Lord. Psalm 34, 8. Now, some of you are of the opinion that I'm using every verse in the Bible, in this book of Psalms, about blessed, but I want you to know that I've only selected a few. And then Psalm 84, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. Look at that verse, if you will, please. Psalm 84, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. And then the last one that I present to you this evening, because I have so much more to say, in Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. How beautiful that passage is. In Psalm 119, I repeat verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Now you can see that I'm having fun with the book of Psalms. There's so much here, and I don't know how long I want to stay, but I'm trying not to stay on any particular book of the Old Testament too long. But I can see that I would stay here a good long while, but I probably won't do it. Other than I can tell you that I need to tell you that Psalm 22 is a fantastic chapter. And when I look at verse 1, verse 7, verse 12, verse 15, verse 16, and verse 18, I find some most unusual things. When I go to Psalm 22, verse 6, I find a very interesting passage of Scripture indeed. It has made such an impression upon me that I will present Psalm 22, 6 at the first session next Sunday. But I want you, if you will, please, to just jot these verses down. Psalm 22, verse 1. The exact identical words used by our Lord at the ninth hour when he was dying on the cross for the sins of the world, we find in Psalm 22, verse 1. What is that passage of Scripture? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You find that recorded in Matthew 27, 46. We see it now in Psalm 22, verse 1. 1,000 years had passed between the time that God led David to pen these words and the time that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke them on the cross. That's amazing to me. So I want you to put down Psalm 22, verse 1. You will notice that we also listed Psalm 22, verse 7, which says, "All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head." Now that's presented to us in Psalm 22, verse 7. A long time before Jesus Christ became the God-man and walked on this earth. But when you go to Matthew 27:30, it reveals the fact that the people, some spat on him. And we read that they began to beat on him, on his head. And when you go to Matthew 27:31, it says they mocked him. He's ridiculed, he's berated, he's told by scribes and Pharisees. He saved others, he cannot save himself, in Matthew 27:42. Are you getting this? Are you beginning to realize that you find much in Psalms, where you find it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was walking on this earth? "All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head." Psalm 22:7. When you go to Matthew 27, I repeat, they spat on him. We see that they beat him on his head. They mocked him. They ridiculed. They berated him. And he was told by the scribes and Pharisees he saved others. He cannot save himself. When you go to Psalm 22, verse 12, I found this verse extremely interesting. It says, "Many bulls have surrounded me." Have you looked at that verse recently? Probably not. So I want you to see that in Psalm 22, 12, it says, "Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me." Now, when I read this, you know what I would do? Naturally, I would see what I could find out about Bashan. Just like you probably would want to find out some things. But here's what I have to do to make it very brief. I want you to understand that in the Bashan pasture land, there were many strong, beefy bulls, which was actually a picture of the strong Roman soldiers coming after the Messiah. When I looked at this passage, I found so much in research about Bashan, but then I came to the conclusion that the word "surround" here in this verse in the Hebrew language is translated "encircled." And then I asked myself a question. Could this be what Matthew 27:29 tells us? When it emphasizes, and I read it for you now, the weaving of an encircling crown of thorns. Very interesting indeed. Now, some of you really got a whole lot out of that. Others of you are wondering exactly what I've been saying. But that's okay. If you'll look up Psalm 22, verse 12, you'll find it a very interesting verse. Do some research and you'll be very blessed indeed. Also, the fourth one I present to you is Psalm 22:15, which says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my palate. My tongue cleaves to my jaws." What I want you to get with me here is that Jesus Christ suffered so much on the cross. We see his tongue clinging to the roof of his mouth. That's an interesting passage of scripture in Psalm 22:15. Is this what Jesus means in John 19:28 and 29 when he said, "I thirst"? Can you imagine that? Here we see a sponge full of sour wine and a branch of hyssop brought up to his mouth. That's found in John chapter 9:28 and 29. Are you able to see how I'm enjoying studying this? I want you to see that the fourth thing that I found in Psalm 22 was, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my palate, my jaws." When I go to Psalm 22, verse 16, I read, "They pierce my hands and feet." They pierced my hands and feet. When you go to the New Testament, you'll see Thomas doubting. You'll hear Jesus say in John chapter 20, verse 27, reach hither your finger and see my hands, and reach hither your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. Now, I'm aware of the fact that that emphasis there upon putting the finger in the side, we do not see that that actually took place. It was not necessary for him to do that in order to become a believer. They pierced my hands and feet. And in the working of the New Testament, we find old doubting Thomas. And we hear Jesus saying to him in John 20, 27, reach hither your finger and see my hands, and reach hither your hand and put it in my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. The other one that I found that I want to share with you is Psalm 22:18, which says, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. What I want you to do with me tonight is to go to the book of John. I'll give you time to find it. It's not that difficult to find. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find some interesting verses beginning with John chapter 19, 23. I'll read these verses now. You can follow along in your text. The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. John chapter 19, verse 24, they said therefore to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Isn't it interesting to discover that in Psalm 22, verse 18, we read, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And we find that beautifully depicted for us in John 19, 23, 24. I don't know how much writing you've done so far tonight. Maybe you've done a lot of writing. Maybe you've taken a lot of information. But if you have, that's fine. If you have not, I'm beginning now in the next few moments before we go home is to see throughout the book of Psalms, Christ. We have a reference in Psalms. We have a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have fulfillment in the New Testament. I will not be able to go through all of these because as far as looking the verses up, but I want you, if you are interested, to take this information down. Once I put this on the screen, you're going to be a little bit floored because what it does, it presents Christ in the Psalms. First of all, there's a reference in Psalms to Christ. And then there's fulfillment in the New Testament. So we have the Psalm 2:7. That's the verse that we put on the screen for our study tonight, with an emphasis upon the Messiah will be God's Son. And then fulfillment in the New Testament, Hebrews 1, 5, and 6. I don't expect you to take the time with me to look up all these verses, but I want you to be able to have this information if you so desire. Christ in the Psalms. When you go to Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10, the scripture says he will rise from the dead. That's 1,000 years before we find Luke 24, 5 through 7, which is the fulfillment of that reference in Psalm 16, 8 through 10. You're going to have to move more rapidly. You can't be slow now if you're going to get this information down. When you go to Psalm 22, all the verses from 1 to 21, you find the experience of agony of our Savior on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you go to Matthew 26 and chapter 27, you'll find an emphasis on the fulfillment of what we have predicted for us in Psalm 22, verses 1 to 21. We have an emphasis also on evil men that cast lots for his clothing. In Psalm 22, verse 18, fulfilled in Matthew 27, 35, and John 19, I just read for you, 23, 24. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 22, verse 15, we find an emphasis upon he thirst while on the cross. When you go to John 19, 28, which we've already referred to tonight, we have Jesus on the cross saying, I thirst. Also, we find in Psalm 22, verse 22, he will declare God's name. That's fulfilled in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. I trust you're getting some of these verses down. Psalm 22, verse 22, he will declare God's name, fulfilled in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. In Psalm 34, verse 20, the scripture talks about predicting the time when his bones would be broken. His bones would not be broken, rather. And it says it in John 19, 36 and 37. In Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, he came to do God's will, fulfilled in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. You're already getting tired, aren't you? But I'm not through. In Psalms 41, verse 9, we see his close friend would betray him. And it's presented to us, fulfilled in Luke chapter 22, verse 48. I'm in a little tricky here because I want you to see that I couldn't get all this on the same page. But Psalm 41, verse 9, excuse me, we see that his close friend would betray him. And that's fulfilled in the Luke chapter 22, verse 48. I confuse myself when I change pages. But anyway, so much for that. In Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7, the scripture says his throne will last forever. And that's fulfilled in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. In Psalm 68, verse 18, there's an emphasis upon the fact that he ascended into heaven. We see a beautiful fulfillment of that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. Also, in Psalm 69, verse 9, he is zealous for God, fulfilled in John chapter 2, verse 17. Again, I've divided the pages, so it's Psalm 69, verse 9, and the fulfillment is John 2, 17. He was offered vinegar for his thirst on the cross. This is presented to us in Psalm 69, verse 21. We read about it in Matthew 27, 48. He was offered vinegar for his thirst on the cross. Psalm 69, 21. Fulfillment in Matthew 27, 48. I can just imagine that some of you are saying, would you put this on the internet so that I won't have to try to keep up with all the information you're presenting? I'm sure that we'll be able to do that if it hadn't already been done. Psalm 89, verses 3, 4, 35, and 36. He will be a descendant of David. And it's fulfilled in the scripture Luke 1, 31 to 33. Also, if you will see that in Psalm 96, verse 13, the scripture says he will return to judge the world, presented to us in fulfillment in 1 Thessalonians 1, 10. In Psalm 110, verse 1, I referred to this earlier, he is David's son and David's Lord, presented in Matthew 22, 44. Then in Psalm 110, verse 4, he is the eternal priest king, fulfilled in Hebrews 6, verse 20. 110, verse 4, eternal priest king. Psalm 118, verse 22. He is rejected by many, but accepted by the Heavenly Father. How fantastic this is. In Psalm 118, verse 22, rejected by many. That's true even in our day. The Lord Jesus Christ is rejected by many. Beautiful passage of scripture in 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8. We can see by reviewing the Psalms, looking into the New Testament, of what happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that the prophecies in the Old Testament have indeed come true. We have been able to see that apart from Christ Jesus, there is absolutely no salvation. And so I would ask to the people who hear me by way of internet, and to everyone who hears my voice, if you've never done it, you need to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior today. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ and His willingness to come to this earth as the God-man and go to the cross to bear the sins of the world. We realize that the Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." We realize that he that has the Son has life, but he that does not have the Son does not have life. We're thankful for all of the verses of the Old Testament. And now we're studying Psalms that present such magnificent, beautiful pictures of what Jesus Christ would do when he came to this earth. We see him suffering. We see him berated in so many ways. We see him in agony and pain and difficulty. He was willing to do all of this to provide salvation for mankind. How fantastic it is for us to be able to see how much God loved us and how willing the Lord Jesus Christ was to come to this earth and be the one to suffer so much and be willing to die and to be buried and to come forth out of the grave, to ascend to sit at the Father's right hand, to do all of this for every one of us. And we realize that the Scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." How magnificent that is. How wonderful it is. And certainly the question is, will you ask Christ to be your Savior today? To those who've never done that, we would encourage them to do it now. There's no better decision in all the world than the decision to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We're thankful for every person in this auditorium tonight. We believe that every person in this auditorium has already done this. And so we express our thanks tonight for the fact that you've saved us by your grace. We pray that you will help us to understand the importance of living our lives in dedication and total commitment to our Savior who's done so much for us. We thank you ever and over again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.